Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCB KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Porter, I'm John Coffey, and we've got a good show ahead of you tonight. We'll be talking football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. Also, we're joined by Northwest soccer coach Tracy Hosa and a goalkeeper on the team, Ashley Malloy, as well as Northwest women's golf coach Andy Peterson and golfer Ashley Powers. So a lot coming up on our program tonight. And Backwater, it's going to be a busy show tonight, but also another busy weekend coming up for Northwest Athletics.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's just it's been a great time of year, you know, if you're a sports fan. Obviously, with things going on in this area with the baseball playoffs added to what's happening with the Bearcats, it's just made for a fun fall so far, and it looks like there's a lot more coming that will continue that.
Yeah, for the Northwest football team, they're on the road to St. Charles this weekend. They face Lindenwood. The first time they faced the Lindenwood team in football, should be a fun matchup over there. And then you got soccer home this weekend, including a very important game coming up on Sunday for more reasons than just soccer.
Yeah, that's right. With October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they're going to have their Kicking for a Cure game, an annual game that will help support breast cancer awareness, taking place on Sunday at noon. So a couple of good opportunities to see the team, and an even more special one on Sunday.
And again, we want to thank everyone involved with the broadcast each and every Thursday here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Support for the show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out, and more information at 660-582-2699. Our thanks to Carson, Renee, and the waste staff again for all their work throughout the evening. And we'll be back, and we'll talk much more for you, including Bearcat football, as Adam Dorrell, head coach of the Bearcats, will be joining us. That's coming up right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuildings, shops, and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and we're joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell, as the Bearcats getting ready to go to St. Charles to face Lindenwood, but coming off another good win this past weekend, Northeastern State, the punter, and AD, a little bit of a slow start offensively in that game, but you got things rolling there in the second half.
Yeah, we did. It was nice to play, you know, offense and defense and special teams and play well in the third and fourth quarter. So, you know, we rebounded and did some good things. And, you know, again, I'm just so pleased with our defense. They were ready to play emotionally and mentally, and they played well right away. And Yeah, we're going to try to play a complete game this week.
It seems kind of strange because when you look at some of the a lot of the statistics offensively, there's some pretty good numbers in there. It's just not necessarily points. But there's still, I don't know, a little discouragement out of that. But you guys can't be that far off when you are putting up numbers like that.
No, we hope not. You know, we're working. You know, that's the thing. I've been pleased with the kids. They're working hard. And sometimes it's hard to keep improving, you know, when you're not playing the way you want to, but you're still winning. And sometimes kids are, oh, you know, we're winning. Be quiet. But our guys haven't done that. They've been focused this week, and they're trying to take that next step. But yeah, we think we're really close, and we're really, really excited to play Saturday. You know, we've never played these guys. Our kids have never been there. It's just perfect timing. Mid-season, an opponent you don't know, and it's awesome. It's just kind of re-energized our kids all week in practice, and you know, we're excited to get out there and get playing.
Well, one thing it seems like with the offense in the first half of the last couple of games, it's almost like you're maybe one or two plays away from really breaking things open. If that one play would have connected, whether it's an open receiver that drops a pass or just missing or something, it seems like if it's that one or two plays if it's successful, then it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, it is. You know, we ran a what we call spot go to Quanzy early in the game, and we had a protection breakdown. Brady can't throw the football, and he's, you know, on his back, and literally there's nobody within 30 yards of Quanzy. And just had a few of those situations. You know, you got to give them credit. They made plays, but I agree with you, John. We were just really close to, I think, blowing that game open early in the first half.
I thought an interesting point that you made earlier this week was just talking about how if there are woes, it's more than just one person. It falls on a lot of different people.
Yeah, it does. It's not just one position or one person. It's top to bottom, all 11 guys. And we've really, you know, again, I feel really good because I feel like our kids understand that. They've been really trying to pick each other up this week and focus on, you know, trying to what we talk about, change the momentum when things aren't going good. And I've just heard our kids talking a lot about that, and, you know, that's good to hear them talking.
Yeah, and one thing throughout the season up to this point, that defense has been real steady for you, and very impressive in each game.
Played pretty solid, haven't they? They have. They've just really sound right now. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but we're not busting pre-snap. We're not allowing guys to run around wide open. We're getting lined up properly. Our run fits are really good. I mean, obviously, when you can stop the run like we're stopping the run and make a team one-dimensional, then we're very talented on the D-line and in the back end. And when you can force teams to just throw the football, you know, we feel like we can get home and go get them.
What's amazing to me when you talk about the defense is you guys are playing so well, but when you talk to the guys, they're like, we can get better. And that just, you know, maybe from somebody on the outside looking in, they'd say, what are you talking about? You know, but where are some of those areas? What are those guys thinking when they think, you know, we can get better still?
Well, I talked a little bit about it. I think they, you know, they're pressuring the quarterback, but in their minds they want to get the sack. And, you know, we talk about getting home, and that's one of the things they're doing there. You know, from last week, I know our defensive backs, the coach was really pleased. They really cut down on their mental errors. And so just things like that, maybe some things you don't always see in the score sheet that we talked about. But there may be a deal where we have just a minor breakdown in the back end, but it kind of gets covered up because somebody got a sack or they harassed the quarterback. But just those things, just talking about everybody's alignment, assignment, snap count, from top to bottom, all 11 guys, they just feel like can be better from an execution standpoint than doing their job.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this in the past, but it seems like, again, Saturday we noticed this, is just the fact that the depth on defense wears down the opponent's offense so much by the second half where you're really making some plays just because their offensive line is getting really tired by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we feel really good about our depth, John. And again, I can, you know, talk for hours about what competition does for your football program, but again, you know, we've got a lot of guys that are just battling for snaps right now. And, you know, when a kid gets in there and he knows I'm only going to get 20 of these a game, you know, I better make them good. And if I make them good, then maybe I'll get five more next week. And so And our kids are just battling hard the snaps that are in there, and they're trying to, you know, get us better as a team, but they're trying to get better and get more playing time.
It's a sports society where numbers and statistics always get all the attention, but your guys seem to buy into the fact that there are non-statistical things that can help you consistently win ball games. How do you get guys to buy into that, knowing they don't have to have big numbers for the team to win?
I think a lot of it's tradition. Our tradition has really helped with that, our history of being able to win. And I think the way we recruit, you know, we're trying to find the guy that cares about winning football games first and that stuff second. And again, in today's society, day and age with athletes, that's not always the case. And so we're just got a bunch of guys that are very unselfish because, again, they're number one thing is just win the football game and all the rest of that stuff will take care of itself. And it's fun. It's a great recipe.
I would imagine when you go out and recruit, as you say, you look for more than just the athletic ability in an athlete. Obviously, that's important to bring them in here, yeah. But you want something on top of that, too.
Yeah, we do, John. You're never going to hold against a kid that he played in a program that didn't win, but, I mean, you start looking at teams and at the high school level that win. They seem to have a lot of characteristics that we have, and, you know, it's naturally built into the kids a little bit, their work ethic sometimes, the way they prepare, their unselfishness, and those are things we pay close attention to.
We talk about how recruiting is a lot different than it was 10, 15 years ago. That's easy to see. Is it something that changes on an annual basis? Are there different things that you guys have to do to stay ahead of the game?
Yeah, you do. The NCAA is always... They seem like they're always changing stuff. I'm not saying it's bad, but they're always changing stuff. And, you know, for example, this year, the number of core classes that a kid has to have to be at Division II eligible is changing. And, you know, those are things you got to monitor closely with, you know, Joel, our recruiting coordinator, and Lori, our compliance officer. But, yeah, the recruiting landscape's always changing. You know, everybody's always trying to outdo each other the way you recruit student-athletes to, you know, send out social media facilities, things of that nature. So, you know, it's an ever-changing landscape, so, you know, we always talk about if you're stagnant in this profession, you're gonna be dead pretty quick, so we're always trying to stay ahead of the curve.
And how much time during the regular season do you spend on recruiting?
A ton, John. You would be surprised how much time we spend recruiting. You know, the format we use is every coach, student coaches, GAs, to full-time guys, we all have this, what we call a recruiting area, and you're basically putting your kids on a call, text, letter cycle. And so, I mean, each coach could be going through 50 to 100 kids a week. And it takes a lot of time and energy to recruit. And so, I mean, if you're going to do it right. So we're trying to stay out there and stay ahead of it. But our guys meet once a week on Friday mornings. We come in, and Friday mornings are delegated for what we call new recruiting. And each coach is kind of... their task or their challenge is to bring five new kids to the table, bring us five new kids that we don't know about. If we don't like them and we say, hey, they're not good enough to play here, that's fine, but we want to look at five new kids from each area. So basically you're looking at anywhere from 35 to 60 new kids each Friday. And sounds like a lot, but when you're throwing Florida in there, Chicago's a huge city. There's a lot of football players in St. Louis and Kansas City. So, you know, we're just always trying to find new kids each week.
How far down in a high school player's career do you start to having them pop up on your radar? And what year in the high school do you begin to pay attention a little bit to what they're doing?
Well, it depends on the situation, but mostly for us, it's juniors. You'll get those rare occasions from, you know, an alum that's teaching or coaching that gets you on the kid, or a parent that played here or went to school here. You know, we seem to identify those kids a little bit earlier, but usually they're junior year, and a lot of times we're... You know, you're kind of almost waiting, because those kids usually know by late their junior year if they're going to get a Division I offer or not. So, yeah, usually they're your junior year, late junior year.
You talk about alums. We talked about the Dixons, of course, last week and how important they were. But just in general, how much do you get helpful information? Do you get from alums, former players, yeah, that are in the coaching profession and teaching profession?
We get a lot, man. I think that's something you'd be surprised about. You know, anytime I get an email or phone call, you can just kind of smile. And they're not always football alum. They're, you know, somebody who was a volleyball player, track person, somebody who was in the math department. But it just, I always go back to it on, like, that person had to have had such a good experience at Northwest Missouri State if they're trying to recommend kids. And so, you know, it makes us feel good. And I should make everybody as a university feel good that you're getting those type of recommendations from your alum. But, again, we're a huge teacher college. And so, again, you would, I think you'd be shocked the number of recommendations that we get are just tips. Hey, you know, take a look at this guy.
Hey, one thing about being a teacher college, you've got a lot of teachers out in the high schools where they have a chance to see the kids firsthand there.
They do. They have a chance. Again, there's something to be said about knowing a kid's character, his integrity, you know, what, how he was raised. And when you don't have a relationship with the coach, and you're talking about a recruiting window there when you actually get, you know, hot and heavy, hey, we're going to offer this kid, we're going to bring him in on an official visit, you're talking a turnaround time of anywhere from, you know, 7 to 21 days before he comes on campus. And so you can do your homework as much as you can, but if you don't have, like, intimate knowledge of how that person is, or somebody that knows him, it's just, it can be challenging.
We talk a lot how you recruit against schools in the Kansas City area. You also recruit St. Louis pretty heavily. So do you recruit against Lindenwood some as well, since they're over in that area?
Yeah, I mean, there's always an NIAA presence in there. I like to think that, you know, if we're going to go after a kid really hard in that area, I think, you know, we feel pretty good about the numbers the kids we're getting from that area. But, yeah, you're always going to run into them in that area. And they're obviously selling to kids you can play close to home and, you know, come to, you know, a quote-unquote a city school.
Does it help, though, that the NIAA has a presence now in the St. Louis area when you go in and recruit there?
I think it does, John. I think it helps us more recruiting now because there's a St. Louis school playing in the NIAA. I really do. Before it was, a lot of times kids didn't seem to know much about Division II football in general. It used to be a lot of the 1AAs going in there, but, yeah, I think it's helped a lot.
I think it helps, too, because KG's been able to recommend restaurants for the trip over there. So
yeah.
I think it helps in more ways than one.
Yeah, he does a really good job. Him and Charlie both recruit St. Louis. We split it up in such a big area, but they both do a really good job recruiting down there. And, again, you just if you guys get time, I know you guys don't do anything during the game Saturday, but if you get time, look across the sideline and look at how many alum there will be on our sideline. There's going to be all kinds of, I'm excited. There's, you know, guys that Gabriel Helms is going to be there. Remember him? He's played corner for us here. And he's a really good player. But just a couple guys that I went to school with that didn't play football, but they're going to be there. I know they're extremely excited. So there's going to be a lot of people there.
All right. Not sure what that was about. All right, again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doerr. When we come back, we'll look ahead and talk more about the Lindenwood matchup coming up Saturday afternoon in St. Charles. That's coming up as we continue on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
Welcome back to the KXTV KRNW Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Warder, I'm John Coffey. We've got head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doral, with us, and AD, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. It's a trip to St. Charles, just outside of St. Louis, for in Lindenwood. First time you faced this Lindenwood team.
Yeah, it is. We're unfamiliar territory, and again, it's just real refreshing to be able to go somewhere new. Our kids are excited, and just talking to some of our other coaches that have been there before, they say it's a good atmosphere, good facilities, and it's their homecoming, so we're excited about that. We always get excited about playing other people's homecomings, and I'm sure there'll be a great crowd.
Talk about it looks like offensively for Lindenwood, they've kind of been still trying to figure themselves out. I know that you guys have the last couple of weeks tried to focus on forcing more turnovers as a defense and things like that. Are there going to be more opportunities for that, maybe because of some of their uncertainty?
Yeah, it's tough when you're playing a team like that because, you know, they're playing three quarterbacks right now. I think we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday. All three of them are different. One of them's a really good passer, the other one's a really good runner, and the other one's right down the middle. And so that can be challenging for a defense. And you know, two of the three played last week, and you're a little bit unsure what you're going to get. We think we know because of the way the game unfolded last week for them. I know they lost, but one of them clearly, in our mind, played better than the other one. But, yeah, it's going to be a little bit difficult, and you got to go in there, and they really get the ball out of their hand quick, Matt. They try to cut block up front, crab and crawl, and the kid's taking one step and throwing. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to see what we can do and see if we can read some routes and read his drop. And, you know, one of the things that you're looking at when a kid throws the ball that quick, you may not get to pressure the quarterback all the time, but if you can see when his hand comes off the ball like that for a defensive lineman, that's an indicator to kind of stop and get the hands up. And maybe one of the big boys will get an interception. It'd be great to see.
Now, they're a team that struggled record-wise, won the first game of the year, and then dropped the next four. What type of team do you – is it a team that's really been obviously struggling with wins and losses, but outside of that, what are some of the things that have been problems for them this season?
Just consistency. I think they were probably a little bit disappointed in the way they played from a consistency standpoint. A turnover margin for them is probably, you know, something they're not real pleased with. And, you know, they're like us. There are times offensively they're really right there. They're in the mix, and they may make just a huge mistake. It just kills a drive. And so they're a dangerous team. You know, the thing I look at is, you know, they went to Washburn first game of the season, got after Washburn pretty good. And athletically, they're, I think, are very talented. They're a good Division II talent team. And so, you know, they're a dangerous team. We're more focused on, you know, what they do well and really trying to focus. The thing we've talked about all week is the Bearcats going down there and playing a complete game, offense, defense, and special team for 60 minutes. That's our focus and to try to, you know, spoil somebody's homecoming.
You mentioned the crab and crawl that you'll see a lot of, the low blocking. Obviously something you don't want to really practice because of the danger of it, but you have some experience there with Missouri Southern. You saw some of that there. Do you have to try to rely on a little bit of that experience?
Yeah, you do. It's something you can only work on a little bit in practice. Otherwise, you run the risk of getting a guy rolled up pretty good. And so, yeah, you got to rely on the experience of playing that stuff before.
Yeah, it's really a kind of a dangerous technique that you use for that. But you hate to go up against that type of thing just part because of that? Or
I mean, you know, I'm over on the sideline. Yeah. It's not affecting me, but I know our D-line doesn't like it because it's like, oh, great, I don't have a, you know, they're not going to see a tackle that kick steps and shows his hands, and you got to beat him one-on-one. They're not going to see much of that. They're going to see a guy that shows his hands and is going to dive right at their legs, and they're trying to time it up so when the O-line cuts, the quarterback's throwing the football, so it's not going to be glamorous on Saturday for the big guys.
They've got a middle linebacker, Connor Harris, Athlete of the Week, and he looks like he's the real deal, yeah. One of the tops, individually anyway, in the MIAA.
Yeah, he's good. He's statistically showing up a lot. And he runs really well from sideline to sideline, and, you know, he's a really good athlete. a thing that I think is helping him. I think their D-line is playing really well. I think their D-line is consistently playing well for 5 weeks. And I don't, just my opinion, I don't think their D-line is getting a lot of credit for some of the good things they're doing. They're playing 7-8 kids on the D-line. Again, it's a challenge for us because it's a D-line that you don't see very often. And what I mean by that is they're predicated on speed and quickness. They're about 240-pound kids. That's as big as they're going to be. They're very athletic. They slant and stunt a lot. They don't ever rush straight up. They don't usually anchor a gap straight up. They're usually slanting and trying to get in the gaps and support the run that way. And it's a challenge because, again, we haven't seen a defensive line like that all year.
What can you do against their secondary Saturday?
Well, hopefully if we can run the football, you know, it just really opens up what we try to do throwing the football. It makes our play action game that much better. They're trying to play with the two safety shell and really backpedal and keep everything in front of them. But, you know, again, that being said, other teams have had success on them this year. There's some windows in the middle of the field and some windows on the outside to throw in because they do play a lot of zone. And, you know, the trick there is just getting time to throw the football.
Talk about being able to run the ball. Obviously, with injuries, you've had to use several different guys running the football. Is it important to be able to, and I know the guys don't have control over their injuries,
sure,
but get some consistency to have maybe just a couple of guys that you can work and know week in and week out that what they're going to be able to do?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just we're excited, kind of getting a little bit healthy on the offensive line again, getting back to where, you know, we want to be and with the people we want to be. And same thing with the running back position. It just, there's a continuity factor in football that really helps when you get guys in there that get reps, rep with each other.
Hey, and one of the things that I think we saw last week, that especially in the second half, where you're picking up 5-6 yards on first down an awful lot, that really seemed to set things up for you.
It does, John. Again, for I think every offense, but especially with us, that way we want to call plays. First down's crucial. We have to get positive yards on first down. So if we're choosing to run the football, you know, our goal is to get 4-plus yards on first down.
Is this one of those weeks, too, where you're focusing on the Bearcats and improving in the areas? You mentioned that before, Northeastern State, that was a lot of the focus. Is this another one of those weeks?
Yeah, it is. It's not who we're playing. It's when we're playing. It's the midpoint of the season. And we're trying to play our best football right now. That's our goal. We're trying to be the best, you know, play the best that we've played leading into, you know, what's arguably the toughest part of our schedule. And so, you know, that's our goal. It doesn't matter that we're playing a team that's lost their last couple games. That has nothing to do with it. It's we're trying to not necessarily peak, but get on that top and start playing at the level that we feel we can play at. And that's going to be important in the weeks to come.
Your one loss record obviously is where you want it to be at 5-0. But when you look at everything else that you've been talking about, where are you right now from where you want to be by at the end of the season?
I don't think we're where we want to be, John. I think our kids would tell you that. Our assistant coaches would tell you that. We feel like we can play better football. And so, you know, it's frustrating Saturday after the game because you're like, we didn't play. But it gets back in there Sunday, and it's like, okay, you know, we're not there yet. We can get there. And I just really feel great because I really feel like our kids believe in that and their mentality's there. And, you know, we're just going to dig in Saturday and play. I'm excited about playing Saturday, and our kids are excited. And, you know, we're going to try to play the best game we've played all week Saturday, or all year Saturday.
Early on in seasons, you always hear the cliche, the biggest improvement is between week one and week two, but it sounds like consistent improvement is maybe a better way to look at it.
Yeah, it is. I think there's a fine line, Matt. You don't ever want to peak too early in a college football season. And, you know, I say it all the time, a college football season is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so you kind of got to be cognitive of that a little bit and continue to just grab a couple things each week. Okay, this week we're going to fix this, this, and this, and this week we're going to fix this, this, and this. And so, yeah, I agree with you. Just trying to take those little steps to get better each week is important.
Yeah, I think you saw a lot of that last year out of your team.
Yeah, we did, John. We're not comparing this year to last year, but certainly we feel like we understand a little bit how to do that with our recipe and moving forward. But, yeah, we certainly did.
All right, just real quickly, as you assess the matchup on Saturday, what do you see as the big keys for a Bearcat win?
Well, I think it's important we go around there and kind of endure the crowd a little bit. They're going to be geeked up. It's homecoming. And, You know, I think it's important that we play well offensively early in the game. And I think that's going to be a huge key for us. Being really sound on special teams, they do some things that special teams wise that we're going to have to, you know, have guys cover down and be really sound at what we're doing special teams. I think that's going to be important. But I think the biggest thing is just Saturday at 1:30 is just energy level, enthusiasm, and play the way we want to play. Just focus on that for 3 hours.
Now, you mentioned that it is homecoming for Lindenwood. It's been kind of a tradition here the last couple of years. They waited for the buses to get in before you got any plans for that.
We have not researched the home crashing the homecoming parade this year. I'm almost the other way on it. I was looking for their information today to make sure we're not showing up when their homecoming parade's going off. So,
the dangerous thing, you'd end up in a spot where they probably put you to work back behind the horses.
Yeah,
so it's probably better to stay
not
away.
Good. Not good. Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Adam, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorr. Stay tuned. We've got much more coming up on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be talking soccer and golf. That's all coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCB KRNW as we talk Northwest Missouri State women's soccer and head coach Tracy Hosa joining us. Coach, last week, Sunday, Monday, I know a little bit different, weather kind of changes things up or whatnot, but on Sunday at Missouri Southern, a 2-1 win. Talk about that match. Obviously a win means things went well, but scoring seemed to come in a pretty short span, but what did you feel the entire match was like for the team?
The first 10 minutes was a little rough, but every game is like that. You have to, it takes a while before you settle into a soccer game. And I thought that Missouri Southern had a little bit of the edge on us. However, our two forwards have been working hard, and just from watching our warm-ups, Ashley Cole was on fire. And every shot she was taking was going in. And as soon as she got that ball, then she rocketed in, and then the next one she rocketed in too. So both her and Cassie worked hard up front. Cassie kind of, if you want to call it a turnover, got a turnover and then took a shot and hit the post, and Ashley was well on target to get that the next one. And then our second goal was from a corner kick, and it was a good, very good distribution from Elizabeth Lee, and Ashley put it away.
You talk about both of those goals, things happening, a couple of kicks or maybe a couple of passes before the actual goal is scored. How important is that time? I mean, as fans, you see the goal and you assume the player that kicked it did a lot of the work, but it seems like a lot of the work gets done to set that player up for that opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the run of play, and when we give up a goal, we say there was five mistakes made. So we'll reverse that for the attack, that there were five good things made along the way in order for that to happen. Whether or not it was good possession in the back, or one, did we win the ball back, and then how did we keep possession to do that. So absolutely, that's why 11 people play it. It's what you do, and every decision is important.
Ashley's goals came within a couple of minutes of each other. When you get a goal, is there a kind of an effort to try to get another one quick? You push a little bit harder for the next couple of minutes, or is it just kind of happen that way sometimes?
It's actually the first, as soon as a goal is scored, the statistics for another goal being scored is pretty high within the next 5 minutes. So it's either going to be your team or their team. And we'll have an expression, we'll say five, intensity five. And that's that intensity that either we're going to give up a goal or another goal is going to be scored, as did on us on Monday. You know, as soon as one goal is scored, you got to be on edge.
When you talk about the first 10 minutes, as you did, and it was a little bit of a slow start, are there some things you can do with the team to get through that storm, weather that storm, so that, you know, you don't see a quick start by the opponent?
You know, we made mistakes, and players will make mistakes, and I'll make mistakes. And what we say, and we've always said, is make the next one better, and learn from that. And then if we don't start making things better, then we'll have to make some changes. But it's not changing how we play on the field or who we put in certain positions. But you do look at things like that. But you'll always say, make the next one better.
We talked about Monday a bit there. Southwest Baptist got some early scoring, but they were coming off of their first loss. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty good team in the MIAA, so it seemed like they were set up to maybe have some early success in that match.
Yeah, they were. You know, the first 2 minutes, you know, we actually gave up the ball pretty easy, and we left a lot of gaps, and that's not like us. And that's that mental lapse that we lacked that second day of playing and playing back to back. And yeah, they were coming off a loss, you could tell that they weren't happy. And you know, the first 5 minutes, you know, you asked about when is it dangerous to score a goal. It's also that first five, that first 10 minutes of every half. And you've got to be alert, intensity, you've got to be ready to go straight away. And if you're not, that's crucial, and we weren't.
We've seen a couple of times this year you had to have some, not last minute, but late schedule adjustments because of weather or different concerns like that. How hard is it in soccer to adjust when you have a schedule change like this?
It's not hard to adjust. It's the fact that we have two games in a week. That's hard to kind of deal with that. And, you know, you just have to be mentally ready to kind of move. And, you know, this year was one of those years where we've had to do it a couple of times. And normally we've been lucky. And, you know, I've been communicating with the softball and baseball coaches, and I go in and say, man, I feel sorry for you guys in the spring, because they literally have to change everything. And it's like, okay, hotels and buses, and you know, you got to communicate with the players, and they're 24/7. Are we playing yet? Are we playing yet? Are we playing yet? I'm like, no, we're not playing yet. But it's just a matter of being adaptable and being able to deal with that. And the girls did a fantastic job with traveling and being adaptable with the changes.
This weekend, a couple of games at Bearcat Pitch, starting off on Friday, Emporia State. What do you expect out of the Hornets?
You know, they're a tough team. They've tied a lot of games. That tells us they're not going to give up. They're very, very well organized in the back. So we're going to be pretty smart to break through and be resistant and be consistent with our possession tomorrow.
And when you talk about a team being pretty good in the back, you mean defensively, they're strong?
Absolutely.
Just to make sure I'm straight sometimes.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, in the back, yes.
Washburn on Sunday. What about this Washburn team?
You know, Washburn are... typically, they give us a lot of problems when we play against them. They're having a little bit of a rough season right now. Looks like they're giving up a lot of goals. You know, I think they'll be a little bit better come this weekend. But, yeah, they'll be... I anticipate Emporia will be the toughest of the two games, but Washburn are, I just think they're getting unfortunate with some games right now.
And on Sunday against Washburn, a noon start there, but it is kicking for a cure.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that and some of the special things surrounding that event on Sunday.
You know, our players wanted to do one. We've never had an event like this, and we started it last year for the first time. And we wanted to make it a little bit special and a little bit different. And what our players did was they'll invite either a family member or a close family friend that has been affected by breast cancer, is a survivor, is a fighter. And last year worked out pretty neat that they got to bring them on the field. If they weren't able to make it, we announced their family members' names. And we have quite a few that can't make it this weekend, but we do have a lot that actually have been affected, are survivors of breast cancer.
It seems like that's something that's special for both players and obviously the family members as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I just remember it last year, and one of our players brought their grandmother, and it was pretty unique. And, you know, we'll have a grandmother, we'll have a mother tomorrow, we'll have a couple of aunts as well on Sunday coming. So it's kind of it's close to home, and, you know, they're reminded that soccer is a game and there's other things in life going on.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for stopping by, and good luck this weekend.
Yep. Thank you.
That is Tracy Hosa, women's soccer coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, so you can plan for the weekend. Friday, a 3:30 start at Bearcat Pitch, and then on Sunday, again, a noon start against Washburn. Kicking for a cure coming up on Sunday, the Bearcat women's soccer team. We're going to keep talking soccer when we come back. Joining us will be freshman goalkeeper Ashley Malloy. We'll talk with Ashley right after this. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Parsons in downtown Maryville for the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW as we continue to talk Northwest Missouri State women's soccer. Freshman Ashley Malloy joining us, and Ashley, so far so good, goalkeeper for the team. What attracted you to Northwest? What got you to come down here to Bearcat Country?
Well, I have a sophomore cousin, and she just encouraged me to come down and visit the school. And after I got here, I really liked the family community to it, and everything just was uphill from there.
You saw some pretty good competition in high school from Scott High School in Omaha, and you guys won a couple of state championships while you were there. So was that level of competition helped you to where you're playing as a freshman, as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, at Scutt, I was surrounded by, like, great athletes all 4 years, and I had an awesome goalie coach when I was there, and she really pushed me every practice, every day. So it prepared me for college soccer easily.
What do you think are some of the biggest differences that you've seen from going from high school level to the college level?
In college, I guess it's just like a completely different group of people. Like, everyone comes from different places, and different playing styles and everything, and it, just the way it meshes together, it's really cool.
How important is it, obviously, as a goalkeeper, you're not all over the field mixed in with where the players are, but how important are the teammates and what they do and knowing what they're going to do to play in your position?
It's really important because, I don't know, like knowing how everyone's going to play, it helps you be able to direct and like figure out, oh, you can play the high balls to this person can win the balls in the air, this person likes the balls at their feet, and it just helps out like dynamically all over the field.
And does it help knowing both your own teammates as well as how maybe an opponent may come at you or may attack you?
Yeah, we kind of figure out beforehand like what the other team's going to play like, but once we get into the game, the first couple minutes kind of just determines how the game's going to go, and we kind of get stuff figured out, like all the little kinks, and figure out all the easy mistakes so we don't make them throughout the game.
Now, if your team has possession, they're on the other end, well away from you for a while. I know me, my mind would wander. How do you stay focused if the team's having, say, a good offensive night and there are on the other end, but you know you've got to remain focused?
I just try to keep vocal the whole game. Like, switch the ball or this person's open or, like, good shot, just little encouragement stuff helps my mind stay focused. So
I would guess that that's got to be important for your teammates since you can see the vantage point that you have is better than anybody else being able to see the whole field.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told before that the directions are good, and like if I stop talking, my teammates tell me to start talking again.
What's the competition been like in the MIAA? Did it take you a while to get comfortable? You know, as we mentioned, you don't oftentimes see freshmen come in and play as big a role as you've been able to. Has it taken some time to get comfortable?
Kind of, but my teammates were super helpful with that. Like, coming in from the beginning, you, like, got to school on the first day, everyone, it was just one big family, so it was really easy to fit in and get going right from the start in preseason.
A couple of home matches are coming up this weekend. How much more fun is it being able to play at home compared to having to travel anywhere?
It's a lot more fun. It's fun being able to represent the Bearcat community on our own pitch, especially when it's easier for students and everyone to come and actually get to watch the games.
Well, Ashley, thanks for stopping by, and good luck not only the rest of the season, but especially this weekend with a couple of home ones.
Thank you.
That is Ashley Malloy, the goalkeeper for Northwest Missouri State's women's soccer team. Again, home both Friday and Sunday this weekend. We're going to turn our attention to women's golf when we come back here to Carson's in downtown Maryville. We'll do that right after this timeout on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Time to turn our attention to women's golf, and the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's golf team, Andy Peterson, is with us. And Andy, your roadshow continued here in the last meet. Just came back from Edmond, Oklahoma now, and the Central Oklahoma Invitational. We've had a share of Oklahoma here in this fall, I think.
Yeah, I have, and I'm don't mind playing those people, but I'm done driving down there, I think. I think we've put enough miles on for a few years, so maybe we'll probably schedule a little closer to home in the future, but it's been good. We played some great competition, obviously, playing Central Oklahoma, Northeastern State, and some of those southern schools, especially in the GAC, that, you know, are perennially very good teams. Every year in, year out, they're at the top of the region. They're at the top of their conferences. So it's been good for our girls to see that. It's been good for me to see that. That's know what we're up against.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about it. You get, as you say, they're traditionally good teams down there, so you get a chance to, during the fall, kind of gauge where you're at.
Exactly, and that's the whole point of the fall season. I mean, we don't have a championship or anything like that in the fall. It's just it's our non-championship segment. It's for getting your team ready for whatever type of run or whatever you're going to do come spring when, you know, you do have conference tournament, you do have regional tournament, and all of that falls into that. But the fall is getting prepared for that. Sometimes it's hard to look at that and keep that in focus, you know, obviously with basketball or football or soccer or anything else, every regular season game means something, and golf does as well. But at the same time, you want to peak at the end of the year. And when you're playing in early September and early October and the peak of your year is at the end of May, it's kind of hard to keep that in focus sometimes. But I've been pleased with it. I mean, we've had some good outings, some good days. We haven't put a good tournament together yet, but I think we're getting closer.
Or some of the keys that came out of the trip down to Central Oklahoma for it.
Well, we had... like I said, really good performances for a day. We just haven't been able to put 2 days back to back yet, which obviously we're going to have to do because all of our tournaments up until conference are just two days, but the conference tournament is a 3-day tournament. So we've got to get that figured out, and if that's pushing the right buttons or getting focused on different things or whatever it might be, we've got to figure that out. But the positives are we've had 5 girls shoot 80 or below this fall. And it's just a matter of all of us doing it on the same day and trusting in each other. You know, when I'm out on the course talking to the girls, you know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? Their first question usually is, well, how's everybody else playing? You know, which is great. You want that. But at the same time, we've got to be able to just focus on what we're doing, play our game, score to the best we can, and trust your teammates are going to do their job too, you know. And that just comes with the communication for me as the coach and talking to each one of them, but also just themselves between rounds and off the course, just developing that trust that, hey, I'm going to go out and shoot a low score, throw a low score out there so that when you do that, we'll be in a good situation as a team to succeed. So that was the plus for me from this fall is 5 or 6 different girls shooting 80 or below is a good start for where we're at and where we're trying to go. We just got to keep going from there.
Now, as you look at the schedule, you opened up on the road in Olathe, Kansas, down to Tahlequah, then up to Marshall, Minnesota, over to Hays, Kansas, back to Edmond, Oklahoma. Finally, get a chance to have a home tournament coming up the next Monday and Tuesday out at Mazinga Lake.
Yeah, you talk about excited. The girls were Tuesday down in Oklahoma. You know, they're talking about, I can't wait for tomorrow. Can't wait for tomorrow. And I'm just like, what, tomorrow? You know, they're like, well, we're not traveling anymore. I mean, you think that 6-hour road trips are tough on me. We got, you know, six girls back there in the back of the van trying to study and keep up with schoolwork and goofing around and stuff. But, we're excited. It's good to be at home playing on a course, you know. The practice round will be a little more lax. Obviously, we know what to expect from Zingo. We're on it 4 or 5 times a week. So we understand that part of it, so there's that comfort factor, and the same thing, and eating what you want, getting to sleep, your normal patterns, all that comfort level should be there. So I'm excited for what we can do this week, this weekend, and throw some little scores out there.
Who you've got coming in that you'll be going up against?
We got 8 teams coming. We had a couple drop out late, just with the changeover from JPAT to me, nothing big, just but drop down to 8. We got 6 Division IIs, us and Hays, Fort Hays State, and Nebraska Kearney representing MIAA, and then we got 3 GLVC teams coming over. Truman State's coming over, William Jewell and Rockhurst. So that'll be the D2 schools, and then Park University, which is in the AMC NAIA they're coming up from Kansas City, and then Iowa Western Community College is going to bring their team down, and they've been really good over the last few years, so it'll be some good competition.
That'll be a great opportunity for golf fans to get out and watch the team there.
Yeah, I mean, Monday, weather's not looking great, some rain in the area, but Tuesday's supposed to be beautiful, 70 degrees and bright sunshine, so yeah, if you're looking to catch... If you've never been part of a golf gallery before and you want to give it a try, I know of a place where you can try it.
So. All right. Well, Andy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
And that's Andy Peterson, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's golf team. We'll be back and continue to talk golf as we'll be joined by Ashley Powers, a senior golfer on the women's golf team. That's coming up right after this timeout. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Today's game is being underwritten by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We continue to talk women's golf as Ashley Powers joins us, a senior golfer from Denison, Iowa. And Ashley, it's good to have you with us on the program. I know talking with you a little bit earlier, you're awfully happy, much like your head coach Andy Peterson, to have a home tournament coming up next week.
Yeah, it's good to not actually travel and be home for once.
And let's talk a little bit about me personally, a senior in the program here, and just talk about what brought you to Northwest and maybe how things have gone for you this fall.
Fall season has been really good for me. I've played about the best I have. Northwest is just a great program to be in. I absolutely love all the 4 years I've been here.
And what attracted you to Northwest to begin with?
I came for a visit, and the campus was just beautiful, and I fell in love with the program and the people that were here. So it was a great transition to come in here.
And a little bit of transition this year to Andy Peterson as head coach, and I guess everything's gone pretty well there for you.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. He's been a great coach and helping us with all the things that we need.
What are some of the things that you're looking for in your home final tournament of the fall season here this fall next week, Monday and Tuesday? What are some things you want to try to accomplish out on the course?
I want to beat my best record that I've had here, which is 78. The weather's not supposed to be the best, but I'm going to try and beat it.
And then you turn your attention toward the spring season. Now, what are some of the things you want to do in the off season to get ready for next spring?
I'll probably work on my short game still, probably hit in the net, keep in the rhythm of everything.
Yeah, that's a kind of a tough, with the winter the way it is here, it's kind of hard to stay sharp for the spring over there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Ashley, as you look toward the spring, what are the goals that you will have for next spring then?
I just want to keep playing well. I've been playing well all fall, and I hope to continue it in spring.
All right. Well, Ashley, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And that is Ashley Powers, a senior golfer for Northwest Missouri State University, as she joins us on our coaches show this evening. Don't forget, we've got a lot coming up on Saturday. It's a Bearcat football as Northwest Missouri State will be on the road to St. Charles, Missouri to face Lindenwood. It's a 1:30 kickoff. We'll have that broadcast along the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV, KRNW beginning at 12:30 with the Bearcat game day again, a 1:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon. And again, the Bearcats coming in undefeated 5-0 as they face a Lindenwood team, losing four straight after winning their opener. They're 1-4. 4-4 on the year. Support for the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located at near the northwest of campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. Anyway, thanks to Carson and Renee and the wait staff here this evening for all the work they do during the Coach's Show each and every Thursday here from Carson Sports Grill. Thanks to everyone involved with our show tonight. For Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
You count on KXCV KRNW to bring you in-depth news, great music, and information and conversations you can't find anywhere else. We count on you to help pay for those programs. October 11th through the 17th, we'll be holding our on-air fund drive. If you're a member, that's the time to renew. If you've never been a member, support Quality Public Radio by calling 660-562-1163 with your financial pledge of support. And thanks.
We will now join performers today here on Public Radio.
Norwegian pianist Leif Ove Andsnes